Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm Pat Sloan, and I am so excited that the first person I'm going to talk to this afternoon is Anna Graham, and she is the designer behind Noodlehead, the website. I first kind of found out about Anna's work when I was pointed over to a tutorial, and it had this adorable bag, and she does beautiful photography and now has this gorgeous, gorgeous book called Handmade Style. So she's going to tell me a little bit about that and her new fabric collection. So Anna, thank you for being here.
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
Do you remember when you started to sew, or have you always sewn?
Yeah, I started to sew with my mom. We used to sew clothes, and it would be mostly her show. I'd kind of try and help pick out fabrics and designs, and mostly just sit there and watch while she did all of it, and I would pretty much be intimidated, you know, to try anything besides what I could do basic stuff with, and after I got stuck, it would be all her. So,
Mom would take over.
Yes. But once I got to after college, I think I was pregnant with my oldest and just had to sit down on my own and get comfortable with the machine, and never stopped after that. So,
besides bags, you also make garments. That's kind of your two things. Did you start out making clothing for yourself? Is that sort of what you got used to the machine and all the techniques with?
I actually, one of my first projects I started when I got back at it was a quilt.
Oh, okay.
I did really ridiculous things. I basted the quilt on my bed, which, yeah, as you know, as a quilter, is not a good idea. So I learned my lessons that way. But, no, I dabbled around. I really enjoyed making small projects, like pouches, anything with zippers, things that I could use, things that would be useful for my family. So,
well, I thought it'd be really fun to do a little segment first about zippers, because being that I started with clothing, you know, that we put zippers in things, so it was okay. But as a quilt maker now, you know, I don't make clothing, but there's zippers in bags, and then there's people who have never sewn, but just, you know, clothing and zippers, they're like phobic. They're like, I can't do a zipper.
Right.
Do you find that a lot? Do people write you going, I can't do it?
Yeah, I think people are scared, and that's normal. I think it's, you can conquer it, though. Everybody can conquer a zipper. So.
You can. Give me a couple of pointers. That what do you think is like the most common thing people do wrong that can easily be corrected?
I think it's taking your time to prepare the zipper when you're sewing it. I've always found for myself that basting the zipper in place beforehand helps tremendously for shifting of fabric. I also use a lot of pins. I like to use quarter-inch fusible tape. That's my one tool that I use over and over again, not just for zippers, but I use it for other things. But it's great to hold the zipper in place. And also,
Stop there a second. How do you use that? How do you use that fusible tape?
Yeah, it's just a quarter inch wide. It's a fusible tape that you just lay down where you're going to have your seam and go over it with your iron, and it basically is a permanent bond. You can get a temporary bond, but and then it just keeps everything in place.
Okay, so you're actually sort of you're using it to fuse the zipper down so that when you stitch it, it isn't going to move at all.
Right. Yep. It holds everything together. Yeah. It's pretty handy.
I have never done that. That is really. Yeah. I have to get some of that. Is there a particular brand that you like?
Oh, I skip around a lot. Steam is the one I currently have, and Clover makes some, and Pelon makes some as well. So yeah.
Okay. So it's easy to find. There's a couple.
Right. Yep.
The other thing I think that people might do wrong, you know, maybe tell me if I'm not correct, but I think sometimes people don't pick the right zipper for the job. You know, they mm-hmm. have something left over and it's really, they don't have a good experience because it really wasn't the right thing to do.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of options if you start looking, and yeah, it can be confusing as to what'll work for your project and what's not going to work. And you don't really know it until you're probably there cursing at your zipper. But, there's, you know, a few basic things to learn about zippers. And, a really important one is either separating zipper or non-separating zipper. And mm-hmm. what that means is that the zipper is going to come fully apart if it's separating. And if it's a non-separating zipper, it's going to stick together at the end when you have the zipper open all the way. And I do have a post on my blog on zippers, and it's kind of helpful to talk. It talks about the end stops and the size of the teeth and the size of the tape and how to go about picking it for your particular project that you're working on, because it is important.
Oh, good. Okay. So people can go check that out. It's noodle-head.com. Yep. I want to talk about your book now. Your book is so beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's,
thank you.
Were you a long time in thinking up what you wanted your first book to be like?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a long process. I had talked with Suzanne, the publisher at Lucky School, for quite a few years before we actually went ahead with it. So I've been sketching designs and throwing things back and forth with her for quite a while of how things had come together. But just for an example, the clutch that's on the cover, that's a sketch that I had done for, I think, since 2012.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. They've been thought about for a while, and some not quite as far back as that, but. Yeah, it was good.
So. I really like that it has a variety of things, from bags, big and small, to clothing, mm-hmm. and just accessories. It's a whole group of things, and quilts, because you are a quilt
right.
maker as well. So there's quilts.
Right.
But what was your goal with the book?
I personally can't decide what I want to sew. Like, I know there's a lot of people that are, I'm a quilter and I love to make quilts, or I love to sew garments, and that's what I do. But I really have not found that for myself yet. I have to have the variety. I mm-hmm. like being able to pick a bag project one day and sew a dress the next day. And that's just how I've always been. It's because I couldn't make up my mind. So, I think it's good that you know, somebody that's going to pick up the book, they'll, no matter what kind of things they like to sew, they're going to find something in there that they are interested
in. And there's a lot
in.
Of the things, Anna, that can be made over and over again. That's what I really like. You know, you have these neat totes, and even the outfits. There's a gorgeous tunic. Well, people could make mm-hmm. that over and over again.
Right, yeah. I've had a hard time, like, stopping myself from making a million, but I think I'll probably do that this summer. So.
Yeah, it's very flattering, the style of it. Was this your first venture into clothing design, or have you done that before?
I've done a few smaller things, like skirts, a mm-hmm. few tutorials on my blog, but no, nothing, like, fully, yeah, blown full-blown pattern. So yeah, this is my first go at that. So
yeah, because it's all that thing about the sizes and, you know, all that good stuff that you got to think through.
Right.
It takes a little longer than just a bag, right?
That's right, right. Yes.
Now, I love bags. I mean, like, I don't make as many bags anymore as I probably should, because mm-hmm. but I love them. And your picnic bag is just, you know, I have to have big bags, and that thing,
right.
is, you know, how much can
yeah.
we fit in there? But what I want to know is, how hard is it to put those leather handles on bags? You do that quite nicely.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to say that it's not super easy, and it definitely depends on your machine. And what I found out is that I just have to do a trial and error type thing. just cut off a little strip and see how it works with this leather needle, or see how it works with that top stitching needle, and with this thread or that thread. And it's just kind of, you got to find your sweet spot on your machine. But other than that, it's, you can get it to work for you. It just might take a little longer than what you would hope, I guess.
Yeah. So it's just a little practice with your machine, the leather you're using, the needle, yep, that type of thing. So,
yeah, oh, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I want to get in. This always goes so fast. I want to get in talking about your fabric line. Oh my gosh. How exciting. I saw you at market. You were there. So tell me about it.
It's my first collection with Cloud Nine Fabrics. It's called Rain Walk. The inspiration behind it is my family. I've got two little girls, and we would always go on walks. I would call them nature walks, and we'd go out and collect anything we could find on the street. And even if it was raining, no matter the weather, it was just an excuse to get out of the house. So it's kind of based on just looking at what you would see around the ground and all that. So there's six quilting cottons in two different colorways, and there are also canvas prints. So
that's cool.
Be great for making bags and for pillows and home deck stuff. So
what are the primary colors in it?
We have a lot of colors. There's greens and blues and coral, gray, a little bit of gray, and just kind of bright and cheerful colors, I think. But there's a real natural feel to the prints. It's all hand-drawn, and the base cloth is unbleached cotton, so it has that nice texture of the little flecks in the fabric, and I love how that shines through.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. Well, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. I appreciate it.
We are going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to have the next guest, and you can go out and visit Anna at noodle-head.com, where she has a tab for her tutorials, and you can learn about the zipper making like we talked about, see her books, and so we'll be right back.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Like American Patchwork and Quilting on Facebook for daily quilting inspiration, tips, and giveaways. Find us at facebook.com/APQ Magazine. See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on videos.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I am always thrilled to have Amy Gibson on the show. Amy is just full of information, just chock full of it. She's done all kinds of exciting things in the industry, and she has a new book, her first book that we're going to talk about, but she has some other things going on that are pretty darn cool. So, Amy, thank you for being here.
Hi, Pat. Thank you so much for having me on this show.
I'm always excited to see you. It's so much fun to chat.
Likewise.
Well, now I want to go like sort of back in time for you a little bit, because a lot of people met you via the Craftsy class that you did quite a few years ago now, where it was their very first sort of block of the month, where every month you did a video and people came and you taught, you basically taught people how to quilt. Do you remember back that far?
Yes, just a couple of years ago. That was back in 2012.
Yeah. So. When you started that, did you think much of it? I mean, because it was all very new. They were a very new company, yeah. So they really didn't have a very large reach yet to people.
Right.
When you did that, did you think, oh, this is just a little project, you know, it won't
be
much?
Yeah, I mean, I knew that it was... It was special just because the nature of the opportunity I thought was different, at least different than anything I had done, actually teaching on video in a really professional setting. I felt like that was a unique opportunity. And so I was really excited. I definitely wasn't like, oh, you know, this is boring.
I didn't mean that. Yeah.
I was excited to do it, but I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea what it would sort of launch into, the number of people that would follow along with me and sort of the animal that whole event would eventually become. I had absolutely no idea, and I don't think they had it. I can't speak for them, but I think we were both just shocked and just so excited about it. So.
I think at one point it was like, you know, the biggest quilt along ever, you know, as far as numbers.
I don't know numbers for every quilt along that's ever happened in the world, but I think ours was, it was pretty successful.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, I know a lot of people who followed it, including myself. So there you go.
Oh, you're so sweet. Yeah, that was an unbelievable blessing. People still come up to me all the time and tell me that that's the course that taught them to quilt. And it just floors me every time. I just can't believe it. It's just such a blessing. So I'm so excited I was able to do that.
You know, you've gone on and done other workshops with them and classes with them online. So, you know, people are still finding you and doing that. And you've built your own personal online community then with follow-up email sew-alongs that you've done with your sugar block clubs. What is it about online quilt communities that you've noticed, seeing that you've had some very large communities?
Yeah, it's something that has kind of stuck with me since that first block of the month experience at Craftsy. I've done several on my own website since then. There's just something indescribable, I think, about people coming together with a shared passion. You know, I love all those old stories of the quilting bees, you know, 100 years ago out on the prairie and people getting together and literally working on quilts together, you know, sitting in a circle. We don't do that anymore. We don't do it much. And I feel like the online communities, these block of the month programs and blogs, I think they give people the chance to do that and to experience a little piece of that, to sort of be a part of a community where people are encouraging one another. Most of these online events that I've been a part of, it's not just about quilting, but people are encouraging each other just as friends and, you know, sort of helping one another and sharing personal things. And it kind of becomes this community that I think is a real blessing. It's uplifting for people who are involved in it. So that's what I love so much about it. So.
I know. I'm with you. It's like, it's fun to talk quilts, but it's also, it's just very, sort of exhilarating to be part of a community of people. It's like a language, you know, you can talk to anybody.
It is. It's like once you realize that you have this shared connection, like, oh, you like quilting, you like fabric, oh, you're my people, you know, you get me. Once you sort of cross that bridge and make that connection, it's so easy to just go beyond that then and just sort of share more of who you are and more of what you care about once you sort of connect through something that seems so, you know, just simple as quilting, that shared passion, is really powerful. And I think it's just a bridge to deeper friendships. So,
you know, I wanted to, you've gone out and also you were telling me you've shared about quilt making to non-quilt making groups. What has that been like?
Oh, those are some of my favorite talks. I love talking about quilt making with people who don't quilt or who don't quilt yet. It's really exciting to kind of see the light go off in their eyes when they sort of discover, you know, like what this is, this whole community of us, you know, sewing, and they didn't really know that it existed. I think they thought that quilting kind of died back, you know, in the 18th. Oh, my grandma used to quilt.
Right.
And that's, you know, they don't really, you know what I mean? So when they see somebody younger in their 30s, he's like, I quilt for a living and it's so much fun. And, you know, when I do trunk shows and things like that to people that don't quilt, it's just, you know, it's like they're the light's going on for the first time and they're getting introduced to it. And really, it's exciting to see. So yeah, I love those kind of events.
Yeah. And it's not like the grandma's quilts either. You know, your quilts, you're probably showing your own, so they don't really, they're going to look much different than something, you know, their grandmother may have made, you know, a long time ago. So they get exposure too to, oh, it looks different. That's
right. They're surprised. It was sort of an interesting time when I started to really get serious with my quilting, you know, just as a living and writing and blogging, and all my personal friends and family who don't quilt, you know, them starting to get it and to see my work. And, you know, I'd give baby quilts or they'd see things I would post on my social media or whatever. And, you know, I could just sort of tell over time people were, oh, wow, you know, look at those colors. Like people are, I think, pleasantly surprised to see that, there's a wide variety to aesthetics in quilting, and that things are definitely sort of moving on trend, I think, with the rest of our culture, and all of our quilts are not necessarily still stuck back, you know, 100 years ago, even though I respect and I honor that style so deeply.
Mm-hmm.
I love the modern look, too, so I think it's exciting for people to sort of see that and be introduced to it.
I totally, totally agree. I have not really had a chance to talk to sort of non-quilters. I mean, they pop up here and there at other things. So that's pretty exciting and something to really motivate everybody. It's like, yes, you can spread the love. We have to get more quilters.
Yeah. Get new people addicted.
That's right. You know? Well, let's talk about your book for a bit, because it's amazing. I know that it's something, you're a very heartfelt person, Amy. I love your writings and I love it for that because you are always very thoughtful. And I find that, immensely enjoyable to read. And so I imagine and I know because I've seen your book that it is just full of such incredible love for making and quilts and your family. How did you get started with the idea? The book's called For Keeps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, this idea has been simmering for a long time, for years, really. I always knew that I wanted to write books. That's been sort of a goal and a dream of mine since I was a young girl. And I knew that I wanted it to be about quilting, but I really, I don't know, I wanted my first book to really just be kind of, you know, an expression of what quilting is for me, and to just sort of dig deeper, kind of just beyond the patterns. So I chose to focus the book on keepsake quilts, but not keepsake quilts that are tucked away, you know, in cedar chests and they're never used and they're, you know, you handle them with special gloves, but quilts that become keepsakes through their use. Like they soak up meaning every day through all the memories. And so really just everyday patchwork projects that you're, you know, pulling it out for the picnic, you're taking it on road trips, you know, it's projects hung on the wall in your home that you're enjoying every day, you know, tents you're making with your kids and playing, pieces that you're enjoying and using every day. And that's really how my family enjoys quilts and how quilting is kind of plays a role in our household. And so I just thought it was kind of the perfect thing for my first book really to be about, because it kind of just embodies why I quilt. So,
do you personally have a quilt from your family? Like, do you have memories as a child of quilts being around?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really fortunate to have to still have those quilts, and that my ancestors were quilters, and my grandmother was so wonderful about, you know, pinning little handwritten notes. I just cherish those little faded yellowed index cards with her handwriting pinned to different quilts to kind of note who made them and how old they are. And we definitely had quilts all around the home when I was a child. My grandmother made a quilt that she gave me on my first birthday, and I still have a picture of that, and I still have that quilt. So, yeah, quilts around the house being used every day. It's just really comfortable and meaningful for me.
I don't have that. My family aren't quilt makers, so there weren't any quilts. So it's all sort of a new thing for me and for me to pass on.
You're the starting link. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm the starting link. Oh, such pressure.
It's got to start somewhere, you know?
Well, we're going to take a break, Amy. And when we come back, we're going to go a little bit more into detail. I want to hear about the projects in the book, maybe a little bit behind the scenes, because you have a lot of photography in there. So we'll be right back.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. Quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Set yourself up to stitch a little every day. When you finish stitching, before putting everything away, rethread your needle and take the first stitch. Then the next time you pull out your project, you'll be ready to sit down and start stitching.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg. Join me in 2015 for a brand new video series called Show Me How, brought to you by Baby Lock. Each month, I'll show you how to complete a simple project from start to finish, learn new techniques, see tips, and sew a great project. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/videos to watch.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I'm talking to Amy Gibson from Stitchery Dockery Doc website, and Amy's new book is so, so awesome. For keeps. So, Amy, you have a beginning section that if nobody's quilted before or they're very new to quilting, you have a section on really learning how to quilt, right?
Yes. It's called a patchwork primer. And it's a really clear, just beautiful, vivid photos, step-by-step for everything, you know, from the very beginning, picking out fabrics and cutting, piecing, you know, applique, foundation paper piecing. I really wanted the book to be accessible for beginners and advanced quilters. So somebody who's just starting out can pick up the book and dive right into the projects, because all the basics are right there. So I was really excited to be able to include that.
You have a little tip in there about keeping track of your projects using something most of us have in the house, so that you don't mix up your sewing.
Is it the paper plates that you're talking about? I know, I love that one. It's kind of silly. But it works really well. A couple of the quilts in the book were block-based quilts that had a lot of different patches, really scrappy, and, you know, different patches going in different places, and it's kind of important what goes where, you know. And I really wanted to sort of create a way that I could just sit, you know, cut everything and sit down and just stitch all the blocks without all of these different pieces getting mixed up. So what I love to do is just cut all the pieces for one particular block and put them on a paper plate and then add another paper plate with pieces for a different block on it. So I have this cute little stack next to my sewing machine of paper plates with pieces on them, and it just keeps things separated so that I can just quickly pick them up and sew them together.
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome. Plate. I just love it. It's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous tip. So in the book, there's this series of sort of projects that go in skill level. So you have some smaller ones and then some bigger ones. What's a good one to start with?
Oh gosh, a lot of the projects are really beginner friendly. There are a couple of nice big quilts with really simple piecing. Sunday in the Park, a beautiful picnic quilt. Really easy for a beginner to dive into. Mm-hmm. The quilt on the cover, the popped quilt, it's English paper piecing, but it's really straightforward. The blocks are really simple. It's a great beginner sort of intro to some hand stitching. So many of the projects are beginner friendly.
Well, so that's good to know, because, you know, sometimes people think, oh, you know, that's going to be too hard because, you know, but no, you can do these. You can do Amy's projects. I like describe what the project is, because I'm not even sure what you call it, where it's Once Upon a Time. It's to put the children's books in.
Yeah, it's a little reading pillow. Oh, I love that project. It's a body pillow, so about 15 inches long. Yes, and it's quilted, and it has four pockets. And in my home, I designed it so that it can go up against the crack of my kid's bed between the wall and the mattress. Mm-hmm. They're always dropping books down behind the bed. So the pillow goes there at the back of the bed, and they keep all their little special books in there. So
yeah. It's very clever. I thought that was clever. Yeah, that's...
Thank you.
Okay, so let's talk about the photography, because it's gorgeous. Did you take a lot of the photos?
I did take a lot of the photos, which was so exciting to have the opportunity. I was so thankful that my publisher wanted to have that level of involvement with the photography, with me doing a lot of the photography. So I did do a lot of it. John S. Miller was my photographer who shot most of the styled shots. And I was just so excited with how those turned out. It's really a really colorful, vibrant book, which is exactly how I wanted it to be. So,
and your kids are in it a lot. You have the most adorable group there of kids.
Yes, my kids are all over it. And the book is really full of people, and it's full of the quilts and the projects photographed in years. So there are people and kids and pets and me and my husband and my family in most of the shots, just enjoying the projects just like we do at home.
Yeah, I think that's the best part. It's like it's very much like having just – you know, a look at your life, at your everyday life, and how you incorporate all of this together with your family. It is so cool. I just love it.
Thank you.
Now, you also have this project that I want to explain called Taking the Pledge for Keep.
Yeah.
So you explain it because you're just launching it, right?
Yes, I'm just launching it. I just blogged about it this morning on my blog. So there's a website we created called quiltforkeeps.com. You can find info about the book there, but we are doing this really fun pledge drive this summer, the Four Keeps Pledge. And essentially you hop on the site, you take the pledge. The pledge is all about sort of the meaning behind your quilts. Why are you sewing? Who are you sewing for? Sort of taking time to sort of take a step back, refocus your intentions and your heart regarding, you know, why are you sewing? Who are you sewing for? Just kind of a little sort of
perspective refresher. So you can take the pledge, you can grab a button, paste it on your website to share with your readers that you're involved. When you take the pledge, you get a free download of one of my favorite blocks from the quilt, the Home is Where the Heart Is block. So you'll get that pattern for free. And then we're doing a fun little charity quilt block drive as well. You can make the blocks, send them in. I'm turning them into quilts for trauma victims. So a lot of fun stuff over at quiltforkeeps.com just to celebrate the book and everything going on.
Yeah, I like the I Quilt for Keeps. I just like the way it sounds. I think that's really it's sort of like embodies what so many of us feel. It's like it's not a hobby. It's a lifestyle. It's like
exactly. Yeah. The pledge is a really great way, and you can print it off. It's a beautiful, full page, print off. You can print it off and frame it if you want, hang it in your sewing room, put it on your refrigerator, just as a little daily reminder to yourself to kind of stay focused on sort of what's important. You know, sometimes we get bogged down with all our, unfinished projects and our, swaps. We're late getting our blocks in, or we're stressed out, or we're making gifts and baby showers, Sometimes we can get distracted in terms of why we're really doing this, and it's for the joy of making these things and giving them and using them and enjoying them. So that's what it's all about.
I know. Well, I'm going to have to get that button for my site because it is so
awesome.
Neat. I really like it. I'm going to switch gears here. We have sort of running themes, the magazine American Patchwork and Quilting does, and one of them is about color trends for this month. And so I've been asking a few of the guests, Amy, have you spotted any particular color trends?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm the best one to ask that because I kind of ignore trends, or I try to ignore trends. I try to just make things that I think are beautiful and that are just attractive to me in the moment. Right now, I really love sort of juicy, kind of electric, summery colors like chartreuse and fuchsia, coral, vintage aqua. I'm really sort of drawn to those kind of juicy summery colors right now, but that might change next week.
Right. When fall rolls around, you probably have some fall colors.
Yep.
I think quilters, a lot of quilters are like that. We, we just like a lot of things. So it's a...
Yeah. There's so much beauty. It's the color.
There is. Now, one time you were writing on your site about one of your girls was learning to sew. Is that still continuing on? You have, four children?
I have four kids, yes. And I have my two girls are the older ones, and they are on their little journeys learning to sew at their own pace. So we're having a lot of fun with that.
Did they want to sew, or did you sort of introduce it to them?
I didn't push it because I didn't want them to feel obligated just because I sew. I think it's helpful just in a utilitarian way to know how to mend something and sew something. But I really didn't push them. But since sewing is such a big part of our household, and I have my big sewing table, my cutting mat and my pressing table right out in the front room. It's sort of in the middle of our home. The kids, it's sort of inevitable. They're just involved. They see me sewing all the time, and they really want to do it. I let them, I'm actually about to post my oldest daughter's first little video tutorial that she insisted on having me film for her. So she did a little tutorial on how to make a doll quilt, and it's precious. I'm so excited that she wanted to do that on her own. So
that is so cute. That is just cute. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. What do you have coming up? Do you have anything new that you're working on?
Oh, my gosh. There's always stuff coming up and some things I can talk about and some things I can't. Other than the book launch going on now, I do have some exciting things coming up over on Crafty. I can't tell you exactly what they are right now, but I will be sharing about them soon in the next couple of weeks. So,
okay.
Yeah, so if
all right, so people can stay tuned and catch what you're doing.
Tuned.
You have a newsletter, right?
I do. And you can subscribe just to get updates when I post on my blog. It's my blog is stitcherydickerydoc.com. Mm-hmm. So I try to keep people posted on what's going on, and I do, tutorials and it's busy though, man. I'll tell you, 4 kids and
and a
it's
job,
a busy
so.
Life. But but I do post on there and send out the newsletter. So.
Well, one last thing. We only have about a minute and a half. As you told me that you were playing around recently with freezer paper machine applique. What technique are you using?
Oh, yeah. It's a fun technique. I kind of made up my own kind of crazy way to do it, and it's sort of just a mixture of applique and freezer paper applique and curve. Essentially, I'm just cutting out templates on freezer paper, cutting my fabric out on that, and then using sort of a freezer paper method to press my edges under so I have finished edges on my curves. And then I stitch them down with a pretty little blind stitch or a little blanket stitch instead of piecing them the traditional curves way of kind of, you got the two biased edges and you're pinning them and they're going crazy directions, kind of that mushing method.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I've been having fun with recently, freezer paper for curves.
Yeah, I think they now even say on the freezer paper box that it's for quilt making, it's
right. I think the freezer paper people they didn't even know what a gem they had.
Right.
They're excited that we're all loving their product so much, which is so great.
I think we use it more for crafting than for food prep anymore.
I think so. I don't know when I used it for food prep last, but I use it all the time.
It's in my craft room. I'd have to go find it to use it in the kitchen. It's
yeah. It's so brilliant, though. It sticks, and then you can peel it off, and it sticks again, and you can...
Amy, this has been so much fun. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Bye-bye.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To maintain consistency when piecing, keep your eye on the spot where the needle enters the fabric, not the needle going up and down.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making pillowcases and creating smiles. For people who love to sew or quilt, it's so easy to lift spirits and bring smiles to hospitalized kids, homeless families, and others in need. Simply join American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. Make 1, 2, or more pillowcases and donate them in your local community. You'll create just as many smiles. Join the movement today. Find complete details, download free patterns, and record your donations online at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and our show is sponsored by Moda Fabrics. You can find all kinds of great projects at their Moda Bake Shop. Now, I want you to look out on your pattern shelf where you have all your collection of patterns, and I bet you anything, there's a pattern by Robin Kingsley of Bird Brain Designs. If you like to stitch, then you will have used one of Robin's patterns. They are so amazing, and I am so happy to have Robin come on and talk to me. Hi, Robin.
Hey, Pat. How the heck are you?
I am great. I'm so glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Now, I want to get just a little backstory on you because I don't actually know, you know, how did you get into this business of creating, designing, you know, the whole ball of wax?
No, well, I kind of got in through the back door years ago, although I am not 125. I was fired for being pregnant. So,
gosh.
Clever, huh?
Wow.
There was nothing much to do except teach myself how to embroider, and anything that wasn't moving had baby stuff stitched on it. And from there, it went to teaching and opening a cross-stitch and embroidery store. Mm-hmm. And after that, I went into back east and worked as a product manager and design coordinator for the large companies that made kits back many years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you really did. I know it's hard to believe that happened to you. Well, you have an engineering background. Is that right?
No, actually, I'm a home economist, and that was my first job, was with the electric company here in California, and it was just sort of a soft sell of electricity use in homes, and it was a really cool thing, but this is even better.
Oh, yeah, this is way better. We're really glad that this happened to you.
You can take whatever you're passionate and love and turn it into something that's totally wonderful.
Now, you also go out and vend. I don't know if you're personally vending at all the shows, but I know that, you know, your designs, there's often a booth somewhere at a show. And so people are seeing your work all the time when they go to a quilt show. What do people say that maybe haven't tried embroidery? Because it's handwork. And, you know, some people are like, handwork. You know, do you show them how easy it is?
We do. My sister and I go to the market shows that are wholesale, mm-hmm. as well as several retail shows around our side of the country in the West. Mm-hmm. And we just have a fabulous time. But you're right. People are kind of scared of that HAND word and are so accustomed to doing things on their sewing machine. But at the same time, they're getting more interested in being more portable. Machines can't go everywhere, but embroidery surely can. Mm-hmm. So you just, I show them how totally easy it is. It's just a few stitches that are, as I say, portable and relaxing. You mm-hmm. can take them all kinds of places where people might make you wait, and you can enjoy yourself.
Yeah, it is a good thing to have when you have to wait, or even just, you know, just to, doesn't give you like your brain a little sort of resting spot in the day to just stitch a little bit?
You can, yeah. You can, you know, leave your sewing room, put your machine away, actually go back downstairs or out with the family, mm-hmm. and enjoy other people's company, because you can watch TV, because you don't really have to watch too much of that.
you can listen.
But we can talk, as we all do so well,
yes,
and continue to do what gives you pleasure. It's a real relaxing, enjoyable thing to have handy at all times.
Well, let me talk a little bit about the techniques that you like to use and a little bit about what makes it easier. Which stitches are your favorites?
My favorite stitches are, I guess, just the basic five. I do a back stitch to do all the line work. It just is a design stitch that you can really read when you finish your stitching. It's smooth and even, and make it longer or shorter so you can go around nice curves, mm-hmm. make sharp points. In addition, and, you know, stick in some French knots for texture, lazy daisy loops, mm-hmm. Just the real easy stuff. But you can find that within maybe four or five stitches, you can do an entire quilt.
Oh, that's, yeah. I love French knots. I don't know why. I just
Me
think,
too.
Yeah, I do. I love them. Now, are you backing your work at all? What is your favorite
process for stitching? No,
that?
I don't. Okay. I find that you don't have to do that. And I've seen work that sometimes gets a little lumpy because mm-hmm. they're trying to put two or more layers together, and maybe they don't fit the hoop just perfectly. And also, you just run the risk of not being able to enjoy the stitching as much because it's thicker. Mm-hmm. And it is not just as enjoyable. But you can keep the back nice because a lot of people are saying, oh, you have to do that on the back. Otherwise, you can see through everything mm-hmm. and it doesn't look nice. But keeping the back is not hard to do. And so that it's not necessary to add another something on the back.
Okay. Do you ever? How do you handle the tails of like, you know, if you're using a red thread so that it doesn't shadow through the light color?
Right. Because a darker thread could be seen through, especially if mm-hmm. you've got a rather thin fabric, a delicate linen, say. Mm-hmm. And because my favorite is red work, I do mm-hmm. red all the time. But I will make a tiny, tiny stitch or a knot at the end of the thread for my first stitch, and usually don't put that dangling out at the point of a leaf or something like that, because then the tiny tail will move. But go around that stitch, kind of making it hidden with other stitches around it. Then mm-hmm. when I finish either that area or the thread has run out, I will stitch under existing threads, maybe two or three times, doing a small back stitch and tucking it under your existing threads. Mm-hmm. And that gives a nice basis to clip your thread at the end, but it's all protected and tucked in.
Oh, that's great tips, Robin.
But it's really easy to do, too.
Yeah. And you probably
that
just get in a rhythm.
That was way longer than it takes to do it.
Yeah, I bet it's faster than what you just explained.
right. Yeah. And then you can begin the stitching with your next thread in exactly the same manner, mm-hmm. So that everybody is hiding underneath existing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I want to tell people before I forget that you have lots of projects that you've done for American Patchwork and Quilting's family of magazines. So they can just go out online to allpeoplequilt.com and put in either your name or red work, and they're going to find projects that you've done for the magazine.
So very true.
Yeah. So how do you get an idea started, Robin, for a new project? Does it have a theme? Did you see something? What sparks it for you?
Well, kind of both of those things. I'm always on the hunt for something new. For example, if you're in the garden, you'll just see something that just strikes the color or the shapes, mm-hmm. Birdhouses, trees. And if you're leafing through magazines, you'll see something that you say, oh, my gosh, that is just, that's too cool. So you have an idea start. My workroom is littered with little scrappy things that are kind of like a thumbnail. And my sister says I never go anywhere without a notebook, from a tiny one that tucks in my bag or some big ones that are mm-hmm. spiral bound. And if you start, Pat, you're just going to find ideas everywhere. But it also can be a time of year or themes. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm working on Santa Claus.
You have to work in the opposite season, like of what everybody else is experiencing.
That's right, but you can keep your eyes open when it is Christmas or Easter or summer or whatever, so that something will strike your fancy. It's all out there.
So you also have your designs. Some of them are translated for the machine.
Right.
So how does that work? Do they download software? I mean, download
the program? We have CDs that are printed with the designs, and then on our website also you can download the files directly to your computer to save. In years past, I do everything by hand, but there are so many gals that have these fabulous machines and want to do everything. So I was talked into it, and now a lot of people are saying, oh, my gosh, you're not doing hand embroidery anymore. But never, never. Yeah. Everything will be hand first.
Hand first. Right. And that's what's so gorgeous about your machine ones is they look just like the hand work that you do. I mean, they're all the hand drawn, and they're just spectacular.
We really tried hard to find a digitizer. Actually, we have two gals that understood that I don't want it to look skinny. Mm-hmm. I want it to have that full, beautiful flavor of the handwork. Mm-hmm. And it's turning out to be just right.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yay. So one more thing before we wrap up, Robin. I noticed that you have a couple of tools. Is there one sort of tool every embroiderer should add to their basket of things?
Well, I love my hoop. I do everything with an embroidery hoop. And because I work with pearl cotton, the size 8 pearl cotton, I have my favorite is a size 4 crewel needle that works so well. And I think those are the musts. I just got a new pair of giant stork scissors. And those are going to be my current new favorites, I have a feeling.
Well, there you go. The list of new favorites from Robin Kingsley. Robin, this has been so much fun.
And I appreciate so much, Pat. Thank you.
So everybody can go visit Robin at Bird Brain Designs and sign up for their newsletter. You can come visit allpeoplequilt.com, sign up for the magazine's newsletters. They come out with all kinds of great tips and lots of free patterns from that have been online, just like some of Robin's. And I'm Pat Sloan, your host. I hope that you will join me online. I have a large Facebook community, and I will see you there.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks.